Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, the Racing Post horse racing audio podcast presented to you by the Racing Post Members Club. We've had a long week at Galway, but on this week's show, we're actually going to be touching on the 5 days action from the South Downs' most beautiful racetrack, Goodwood. This week on the show, I'm joined by the Racing Post Chris Loader and Rosie Margson. Looking forward to hearing their thoughts on the racing last week. As always, do subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to us on, and do keep sharing with friends and family. Let's get straight into it then. We'll start the first part of the podcast looking at days one and two. And we'll look at the first group twos on day one to start with. The Vintage Stakes and the Lennox Stakes. The Vintage was won by Marban for the Charlie Fellows team, and the Lennox was won by Sandrine. Chris, what did we make of the two races, especially the two-year-old that won that under Jamie Spencer, given a very Jamie Spencer-esque ride?
Yeah, it was a brilliant ride from Jamie on Marban. I'm just not sure about the form moving forward. Mysterious Knight was in there, who finished third. I think he's a fair yardstick, but I don't think he's no world beater. Hollyway Boy came out obviously from the Chesham when he won there on debut, and there have been some mixed results from that form. So I think it was a good ride by Spencer. I think the race set up for him, and he did some good work late on Marban. But I just think moving forward, I think there are some holes in that form, and I'm not sure if he's going to be a proper Group One juvenile. Obviously, great for connections. Charlie Fellows getting a good winner there, and he's got a nice horse to play with. But for me, I just didn't think that the form moving forward is going to be that strong.
Okay, yeah, no, I completely understand that. I mean, it is nice to see Charlie Fellows have a nice horse on his hands since they've retired Prince of Arran. So Marban looks like the new sort of stable stick, and hopefully he could be exciting for them. Rosie, I don't know what days you were actually there at Goodwood, but I don't know if you saw Sandrine's performance. She's starting to look like a 7 furlong filly.
She is, isn't she? I love Sandrine, and purely because I love what Kirsten Rousing does with her horses, and it's so great that it's by one of her own stallions. So I've got a big heart for that filly, and I think she's great. I can't wait for her to run again almost. I just hope she keeps winning, because it's just such a nice story. It's such a sort of in-industry thing. But yeah, 7 furlongs is definitely, I feel like, where she looked so comfortable when she won.
Yeah, Sandra, she really is a special filly, and I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing her head to France towards the end of the season. If you're looking at Group 1 7 furlong target, she's got to be looking at the Prix de la Forêt on Arc weekend. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we do get to see her there. Now let's get into the big one on day one, which was the Goodwood Cup. This was won by Kyprios with Stradivarius in second and Trushan in third. As Richard Hoyles described it on ITV, a race for the ages. I was actually there to see this race, and it was one of the loudest I've ever heard a race course ever. It was absolutely mad. I had people I didn't even know shaking me, cheering home Stradivarius. It wasn't quite to be his day. But there was a fantastic sort of show by Goodwood, with flags being handed out and a big message across the Goodwood Trundle saying thank you to Stradivarius. Rosie, not to be Stradivarius Day, but we have got a very, very good stayer on our hands in Kyprios.
Yeah, I almost feel sorry for him. He's absolutely smashing it. He's won 4 on the bounce, and yet every time he runs, obviously he's up against Stradi, and it just gets overshadowed by the Stradivarius brain. And I love what Stradivarius has done for the flat racing horses to keep going for this long. It's fantastic. I hope Kyprios does the same thing. But he does tend to sort of get blown over by everyone yelling for Stradi. But it was it was for the ages. That was a stunning performance. Trushan absolutely gave it to them as well. What a horse he is. The 3 of them, it was just stunning.
Yeah, and Chris, with regards to the race, I know we were all expecting this to be Stradivarius' last show, but Bjorn Nelson came out on ITV and said after seeing him run like that, we just can't let him go. So it looks like York could be the target next, and Kyprios could end up going for the Irish St. Ledger, so he may not have to face in there at York. Could that be his big bow out?
Could be. And then there's also the race at Doncaster at the St. Ledger meet, and he could run in there. Yeah. Got a good record in that race, and that'd probably be a more winnable target for him, you'd have to say. I think it's good that they're keeping him in training. I think this season he's not been far from off his best. I thought it was a good return at York. Obviously, he was a little bit unlucky, it's fair to say, in the Ascot Gold Cup, and he was there with every chance in the Goodwood Cup this year. So he still looks like he's enjoying the game. Obviously, it'd be interesting to see what happens to him when he becomes a stallion. But yeah, I think there still could be a couple of days in him left. I think this could be his last season, but those races we just touched upon at York and Doncaster, I think, could be on the agenda for him.
Yeah, I think we've been saying that about Stradivarius for the last 2 years, but they just seem to keep this horse going. He's been absolutely fantastic, but I'm sure this could be the end for Stradivarius this season. Looking forward to hopefully seeing him win one more time. I actually think Ryan Moore's ride on Kyprios was really, really good. The way he pulled his stick into the left hand to give a sighting of Stradivarius just to keep the horse going. I think Kyprios, Aidan O'Brien saying he's a little bit of a lazy horse and needs to see other horses to really pick up. And the way he picked up when seeing Stradivarius, yeah, looks like a very smart stayer and could be one that could be winning multiple big Group 1 Cup races across the seasons to come. Let's go on to day two then. We had the Malcolm that we're going to be discussing and the Sussex Stakes. The Malcolm was won by Trillium, beating the hot favourite Rocket Rodney. It wasn't actually the quickest 5 furlong time of the day. The Platinum Queen actually beat the time by, I think it was, oh, I'm looking at 0.18 seconds, which actually set the quickest two-year-old record over the 5 furlong trip. So she could be very exciting. But Trillium was the winner of the Malcolm. Do you think it was a hot Malcolm at all, Chris?
I think it was a good race. Rocket Rodney, I'm not sure, he seemed to be coming there with a good run. He was still travelling at the furlong pole, but he just couldn't pick up and go through his effort. So maybe there are question marks with him there. Trillium, it was a good bit of place than I thought by Richard Hannon. She was the only filly in the race as well, so I don't know if that was a tip in itself, as she was would have been getting the filly's allowance. But I thought she did the job well. She could be a horse that maybe could contest the Cheveley Park at the end of the season. I think she's a speedy filly. Yeah, and she's quite an exciting one for the future. I think it wasn't a bad race, but I don't think it was the strongest juvenile race of the week. But yeah, she did the job well, and very exciting horse for Richard Hannon.
Yeah, what do you make of the race at all, Rosie? Was it a, quite an impressive winner?
I think so, considering it's just her third run. I think she did it very, you know, she was straight as a die, as Hannons mostly are. You know, she looked so professional. So I think there's definitely a lot more in there. And with No Name Evers, there usually is.
Okay, yeah, I think that, yeah, she could be very exciting moving forward for the Hannon team. And another one, a bit like Marban is for Fellows, another one that could really put Hannon back on the map with a really nice horse here. Now let's go on to the highlight of day two, which is the Sussex Stakes. This was one by Baid, who, wow, this was really, really impressive. I know that we have these comparisons with Frankel. I think we need to get away from these. I think Baid is his own horse and he is an absolute star. Rosie, look, this horse, he's going to go on to the Judgment now, stepping up in trip by an extra 2 furlongs. I think we're just excited to see how good he could be over this trip.
Yeah, I mean, he's such an incredible looking horse. I got to see him. I was there when he won. And he barely looked like he'd broken the sweat when he walked back in. He's not at all fazed by the whole thing, which is makes him an even better racehorse in so many respects, because it's not bothering him. You know, if they're coming back in and they're exhausted and they're sweaty, you know, you know they've worked hard. He's not even, he doesn't look like he's out of cruise control. Jim has so much fun on him. But I will say the Haggises, Maureen and William, looked exhausted. I think we all forget as watchers how hard it must be to have a horse like that in your yard, because at the flick of a switch it could all go so wrong and it could all end. So it's so phenomenal to watch, and I think when they watch back they'll enjoy it more. But at the moment, I mean, Maureen burst into tears the minute he crossed the line, and yeah, they just look, yeah, it looked very relieving. But I think, you know, they are, the two of them are paddling away underneath this whole thing, and we're all watching it unfold beautifully. But there's so much going on behind the scenes, I think. It's mad, really, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris, look, Baid, he's an absolute superstar, and what they've done with his horse is absolutely amazing. Look, the Judgment could be his last ever run. I mean, there were discussions, actually, whether if this horse hit the line really well, whether they could go to the Arc with this horse. What would you make of that if they did that?
Yeah, I wouldn't be keen on him to go to the Arc. I think the Judgment is going to be his big target next. I don't think he's going to have it completely plain sailing there. I was impressed by his win in the Sussex Stakes, watching back the replay. In real time, I just thought, oh, it's another workman-like performance. He's just better than the horses he's beating. But then when I watched it back, like I say, on the replay, he just had such a high cruising speed and was very impressive when he hit the line. I think it'd be interesting to see how he gets on at York. I think Mishriff, if he's back to his best, the race he won there last year at York, the Jebmont, if he's anywhere near that form, I think we could have a real race on our hands. And hopefully we both of them might come off the bridle and it's a proper fight in the last furlong. But I think he is probably the most likely winner of that race. But moving forward, I don't think I would stretch him up to a mile and a half. I think maybe Ascot Champions Day, going back for the QE2 or the Champion Stakes, if he was mine, would be on the radar as potential end of season targets. But yeah, I think he's an absolute star, and yeah, hopefully there's a lot more to come from him.
Very exciting. Looking forward to seeing what he can produce over 10 furlongs next. That's it for the first 2 days. Join us in just a mo where we will review the action on days 3 and 4.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the podcast with myself, Sam Hart, Rosie Markson and Chris Loder. Let's move in to the third and fourth day of Goodwood then and kick things off with the Richmond Stakes and Gordon Stakes on day 3. The Richmond was won by Royal Scotsman, who set a record 6 furlong time for 2-year-olds. There were a few records on the card during Goodwood week, showing the ground was very quick. He was very impressive. And then we had New London winning the Gordon Stakes, who has earned quotes of 7-2. For the St. Ledger. Rosie, Royal Scotsman, the horse with this form from the Coventry, which looks absolutely outstanding. Still waiting to see the winner of that race, Brad, so I'm sure that horse is going to turn up at York. But yeah, Royal Scotsman was exceptional.
There's just nothing to dislike about him. He's a gorgeous looking horse and he's clearly a powerhouse. So yeah, and I mean, I can't wait to see Brad Sell next time out if he's doing that.
It's going to be mad, isn't it? He really is going to be quite a special horse, potentially, Brad Sell. And New London, Chris, before we came on and started discussing the racing that we were today, you mentioned other Godolphin horses for the St. Ledger. But look, New London was very workmanlike and 7-2 quotes as the favourite for the St. Ledger. But other Godolphin horses you think could be the challenge to him?
Yeah, he's got to be up there, New London, high on the shortlist for the St. Ledger. But I think Godolphin could have a couple of other candidates that ran earlier on the card, with Secret State winning the handicap. He's got an entry for the St. Ledger and he could be going to the Great Voltager. I think he was around about 6-1 shot last time I looked a couple of days ago for the race. So he would definitely be on my radar for that race. He just keeps on improving. Yeah, I think Godolphin could have a good team for the St. Ledger, but I wouldn't think there's much between them. I think New London is probably the pick of them on current form, but I think Secret State and Warren Point could still have a little bit more to offer moving forward, and they could be candidates for the St. Ledger. So maybe one to watch and have a look at for the great Voltager at York in a couple of weeks' time. We might get a few more clues there.
Okay, Rosie, with regards to New London, did you watch that performance and think that this horse is made for a St. Ledger?
Well, he just looks like he could have eaten the rest of the field. He was huge. I think he could. But I agree, there's a lot of Godolphin horses currently that are looking very nice. So, I mean, the fact they're going up against themselves this year, they are really doing something special this year, I think. I mean, they absolutely smashed it with all the guineas they won this year, so... Yeah, who knows which one of them will win.
Charlie Appleby has just had an exceptional season. He just seems to get better and better as a trainer. So, looking forward to seeing where some of those Godolphin horses are going, see if they all do turn up in the St. Ledger against each other. Now, the highlight on day 3 was the Nassau Stakes, won by Nashua, who took a markedly big drift in the market in the morning for this race. Seemed like that everyone didn't fancy this horse at all to go and win it, but did the job under Holly Doyle. John Gosden's quotes after the race were just so complimentary with regards to Holly Doyle and also her work ethic. How good is she for this sport, Rosie?
She's fantastic. And she is what she is. You know, she's no different in the weighing room than she is when she's on a horse. She's just so lovely to be around. She cares greatly for the horses and she's a flipping good rider, but she's worked for it. You know, she didn't just jump on one and was good. She spent years, I remember watching her as a teenager getting carted off with, you know, she she worked on herself and now she's absolutely flying. And the partnership with Nashua is so nice to see, and a big stud like Blue Diamond and Imad Al-Sagar supporting her is fantastic for all of us.
It is. And Nashua, Chris, I mean, are we starting to potentially think this is one of the best horses to come out of the Oaks out of all the ones we've seen?
I think it's the best horse that's come from the Oaks, but yeah. I don't think the Epsom Oaks this year was a particularly strong race. I think there's plenty of holes in the form. And even though Nashua did well to win the Nassau, I'm just a little bit concerned about some of the other horses. They weren't that far behind her. You've got Arista in there for Richard Hannon. She was 40-1 and given a £9. So I don't think she's miles above the horses she was beating. I think she just was able to take advantage of the White Fraser Land. She could still be open to a little bit more improvement, but I just think the other horses in behind there wasn't much between them. I thought, like I say, it was a good run by Aristia, but just a little bit concerned there. I thought Fontaine as well for Kevin Ryan was a bit of an eye catcher in that race, attracted a bit of market support. I think she was as big as 33s in the morning. She went off 18s, and she hadn't been seen since she beat Grand Dame at York back at the Dante meeting in May. So I think she could be a filly to keep an eye on, and she might later down the line be able to reverse form with Nashua. I do think there's not much between the fillies, but Nashua, I think she was just the right horse on the day. But moving forward, I'm not sure about if she was a four-year-old, if she'd be able to beat the same horse as she is now with the weight for age allowance.
There we go, a couple of horses to note from the Nassau from Chris there. Let's move on to day four then. Two races we're going to discuss on day four, the Thoroughbred Stakes. This was won by Rocket Jarny, and we were just discussing Holly Doyle. Rosie, and her husband's not too bad either.
No, although he did get a few days for this ride, didn't he?
He did, yeah, which was interesting, wasn't it?
It was quite, I think, I watched it back, and I think the reason that the Swedish lot were upset was because their rules are very different. But equally, it's just one of those things, you know, I don't think he did it on purpose, but it's, yeah, it is what it is, but he's a bloody good jockey. But it was nice to see the German horses really taking power over here at the minute. I think that they're sometimes underestimated, and I always say his name wrong. Torquato Tasso,
yeah, you're
that's
right.
The one. He has just been such a flag bearer for them, and a horse like this coming over, he's a lovely time test colt as well, so you know, he's our kind of breeding, but equally still German. It's lovely. I really like him. I hope he comes back over for more races. I think it would be nice.
Yeah, Rocket Jarny was really, really good, Chris. I was quite impressed by this. And obviously the form with Maljume from the German 2000 Guineas, where Maljume could turn out to be a really, really smart horse. And I think Rosie mentioned actually a Swedish runner. It was a Norwegian runner, but we will get onto a Swedish runner in a minute. Don't you worry about that. But yeah, the Norwegian, it was very interesting the way that the Norwegians went about this. You had the trainer and the jockey both in the weighing room, really making a case for it. I couldn't quite see how they thought they could go and really go and win this, the Norwegians with Hotline Bling. But I could see the case why they thought that Rocket Jarny, you know, did come across. It was a bit of an odd one, Chris. Hard to explain.
Yeah, it was, because I thought Rocket Jarny, I think he just was already getting past the Norwegian horse, Hotline Bling. I just think that the rules over there are slightly different. And why not? If you're in that position, you've paid a lot of money to turn up and run a race, if you might be able to get promoted a place, or you can get the winner demoted, you know, it might work to your advantage. But I think it was never going to be turned over, the result. I think maybe the band's a little bit harsh for Tom Marquand. I think he is going to be appealing it in the coming week or so. So definitely one to keep an eye out there with the news update. But yeah, I don't think there was much wrong. With the form itself, I think it was a bit of a messy race. I think the horses are disappointed. Check and Challenge, Berkshire Shadow, Bayside Boy. I just think maybe the course and the ground went against them. It was rattling quick by the time we got to Friday, and I think they had some excuses. So moving forward, I would have a few suspicions about the form. But yeah, you have to respect the German horses coming over here, and it was a good bit of placing by Peter Schergen.
It really was. And yeah, like I said earlier, Maljume, can't wait to see Maljume come back out and show what he can do. Obviously very unlucky in the St. James's Palace at Royal Ascot, but yeah, very excited. I think potentially the Prix Jacques Le Maurois in France will be his next target, so see what he can do over there. And the highlight on day four was the King George Qatar Stakes, the big sprint won by Cardem, a former Stewards Cup winner. Now, this was a very open race, Chris, and look, a very good ride once again by Ryan Moore.
Yeah, it was a good ride by Ryan Moore. I thought Rahsaat, though, was a little bit unlucky. And what a race he ran. At one point, it looked like he was going to be out the back of the telly. I really fancied him for the race because he'd already had good form over the course and distance. I think he won there twice before, and he absolutely flew home. I think the connection said that they're going to be targeting the Group 1 next. I hope they don't go for the Num4, but I would rather that they take a chance at maybe the Flying 5 at the Curragh. He does have an entry in both races, but for me, I just think he'd be better suited by the car. I don't think York would necessarily be his track. I think if Carden went to the Numthorpe, I'd rather be with him, and I think he could keep up the form. But I think it's a race you could have run a couple of times over and got a few different results. Couture as well bounced back to form in first time cheap pieces. He wasn't far beaten. You know, there wasn't much between the first few in the race, and I think we've not seen an out and out star, but Carden, I think, like you say, it was a good ride by Ryan Moore on the day, and he was just the best horse. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a few of those form lines reversed maybe later on this season.
Okay, yeah, I don't think the sprinting division is all that great at this moment in time. And I think the Nunthorpe could teach us a lot, because I think some of the two-year-olds are being considered of taking a chance in the Nunthorpe. It's interesting to hear about that Platinum Queen who set that 5 furlong record. They haven't necessarily ruled out a late supplement for that race. I'm intrigued if she were to go there at 2. Rosie, what did you make of the big sprint on day 4?
I mean, I love this horse. He's a quirky dark angel, so he's just got love in my heart already. But when he performs to his level, I think he's just great. Yeah, but it's just whether everything goes his way next time he runs.
Yeah, exactly. And like Chris said, Rahsaat was very unlucky flying home late. Mitt Bahi, a little bit disappointing on the day. I think a lot of people fancied that horse, but yeah, Didn't quite turn out. But a really good ride from Ryan Moore aboard Cardem. Now let's go on to day 4 just after this quick break.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the postcast with Sam, Rosie and Chris. Moving on to day 5. Along with any other horses to note from the meeting. But we'll start off with day 5 in the Lily Langtree Stakes. This was won by Cela Rossa, who was given a very good ride and a kind of confident ride from Tom Marquardt, and won the last off the bridle, I think, after Urban Artist ended up taking a massive lead. I thought potentially could have caught the horse out. But yeah, look, Chris, Cela Rossa, Tom Marquardt, very patient and given a very good ride.
Yeah, he was. He stayed cool, calm and collected. He didn't go after Urban Artist. I thought at one point Urban Artist was going to nick it. It was a very daring ride from Jason Hart, and the tactics nearly paid off. But I think Cela Rossa, ultimately, I think on the day, she was the best horse in the race. And yeah, it was good to see that form boosted for 3 wins. The one that caught my eye, and I'll take from the race moving forward, is Emily Dickinson. Now, I know a lot of people fancied her. She went off favourite on the day. She keeps being one of these horses that seem to run on doing her best work late. I wonder if she could feature maybe in a race like on Champions Day in over 2 miles in the stay-in race. I think with the fillies allowance, the three-year-old allowance as well, she'd be getting tons of weight. And I just think she's an out-and-out stayer, and I think she could be maybe it could be a good bit of placing if Ballydoyle went down that route. But she seems to be a frustrating horse, but I just wonder, maybe she's just crying out for further, and she could maybe flourish if she went up to 2 miles. But it's very interesting if she did get declared for any of those kind of staying races at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Aidan O'Brien's actually, he does tend to do it with his three-year-olds and do send them to the long distance cup, and it would be fascinating. You actually see a lot of the horses that he tends to run, they end up going jumping eventually, so who knows, we may not rule that one out. Rosie, Cela Rossa, like Chris just mentioned about free wind, the form there, free wind could turn out to be really, really exceptional. What did you make of the race?
It was just so interesting to watch, because as I said, Jason Hart did what he did. It really opened the whole thing up in quite a chaotic way. I don't think I'd have had the balls to do what Tom Marquand did and sit pretty and wait, because the lead that horse had was astronomical. And I was sort of stood there watching, and I broke my heart when it got beat, because had that have paid off, right at the century. But it just didn't. And she was a very good filly to, I think they all were, to make up that ground and do it nicely. It was quite a fun race. It was an enjoyable race to watch.
Yeah, it was. It was a very interesting one to analyse as well. Now let's go on to the final race we're going to look at. This is the Stewards' Cup, won by Comanche Falls, the big handicap of the week this was. And this was won for a second time by the horse. It was the first time in many years that this has ever been done, and just a really magnificent performance. And look, Comanche Falls, a lot of people saying this horse deserves a bar now named after Goodwood. I mean, what did you make of this one, Rosie?
I love this horse, and I think it was so nice. He cost just 11,000 guineas, like, which says it all, really. You know, that kind of horse, how much fun you can have with a horse like that. And he just keeps turning up and putting his best foot forward and tries. And I think, obviously, Goodwood clearly is his track. He doesn't seem to have much performance really many other places. He obviously likes a bit of a complicated track. But to do it back-to-back is awesome. Like, that takes a bit. And the Stewards' Cup is such, I always call it the cavalry charge, because you could run it again and again and again, and you'd get a different result just based on who gets where and what kind of sit they get and who jumps. So it was luck, but to do it twice, that was nice.
Yeah, and I'm sure Chris is going to give a little bit of a mention for the winner, but I'm sure his eyes were probably on the horses finishing second, third, fourth and fifth, and potentially going to give us a notebook horse here. Who's the ones that you're looking out for in behind, Chris?
Yeah, it was a bit of a funny race. As Rosie said, you could run it a few times and get a few different results. And what I found a bit unusual was the track bias and the draw, because we were trying to work out going into the race where was the best place to be. The going stick apparently was on the far side, and we saw a few horses on the Friday go over there, but then we had the nursery and they all came stand side. So it was a bit tricky knowing where you wanted to be. But Comanche Falls was on the right side of the track and was able to take advantage of that. Going into the race on form, you probably couldn't have put him up as a selection. He hadn't really shown much this year, but Michael Dodds knows what he's doing with these types of horses, and fair play to him. It was a great bit of training to get him back to win the race. Again, I think the eye catcher has to be Tab Deed. I thought Holly Doyle actually gave him a good ride to get him out and give him every chance of winning. He's come back to form. Regional as well was a horse that was fancied by a lot of people. Was very well supported on the day, went off first things too. There wasn't anything that particularly caught my eye moving forward, but like I say, I think it was a funny race, and moving forward I probably wouldn't trust it as a strong piece of form. Like I say, we could make case for many of these horses moving forward to maybe of what win a renewal of this race or another big sprint. But yeah, I think Tab Deed probably be the one I'd be taking moving forward, but Comanche Falls was a great win on the day and a good story for racing.
It definitely was a massively good story for racing, and Tab Deed is the horse that Chris has taken out as potentially one to be following moving forward. Now, that's it for the races we're going to be looking at. Rosie, was there any highlight of the week for you, maybe from the race we've been looking at, or any other horses that were running during the week?
It's a boring answer, but it's so cool to see a horse like him and stay unbeaten and just keep smashing it. I hope he keeps his whole career unbeaten, because it's so fun when they do, and it's a little snippet of history that we're all part of.
Yeah, it definitely will be, and one of those moments where if you were there lucky enough to see it, say that I was there when he won the Sussex Stakes. Yeah. Chris, any other horses to note during the week?
Yeah, I've just got a couple for the listeners. The first one of them ran in the last race at Goodwood. Was a Jero for Kim Bailey. That horse had been knocking on the door so many times recently. He'd been running in maidens, giving lots of weight away, including a second behind Francesco Clementi, who could be a potential group horse for the Gosdens. I know we were talking off air, Sam, saying he's going to run potentially in the Great Voltigeur, and he just deserved to get his head in front of that horse, Jero. I think if he gets put up maybe up to a mark of maybe 95, 96, that there could still be a couple of more big days with him. And the other horse that I just wanted to give a mention to was Sir Michael Stout's Crystal Caprice. I thought she was really interesting on the first day. She was well backed into favouritism at 5-2. She's from the family of Crystal Ocean, and she looks like she's going to be ready for the step up in grade. I'm not sure how far she'll go, but she's got a lovely pedigree. But I think she's a black type filly, and she's definitely a horse to keep on side moving forward. So they'll be my two, Jero and Crystal Caprice, moving forward.
There we go, a couple of horses to note for our listeners. Now let's quickly get the naps for the week ahead.
This will not be beaten.
Rosie, are we going to be following one of your dad's horses this week, and where is it going to be?
Ideal Guest, who is unbeaten at Brighton, is headed back to Brighton. News for the week, I know, so exciting. he's entered on Thursday. In the 4:55 at Brighton. He is really well in himself. I've given him a little bit of a break. So he obviously ran three on the bounce. He was saving himself from the sales, because otherwise he was going to get sold, because he really wasn't giving any idea of a performance. And his last chance saloon was Brighton, and he hacked up. So we're headed back there. I would love him to win. I'd love him to remain unbeaten at Brighton. That would be fantastic. But we'll just have to see. It's an apprentice race. I'm not sure who Dad's putting up on board him yet, so we'll have to wait and see, but he'll hack up.
We'd love to see it. We'll all be cheering that on Thursday, 4:55, Ideal Guest. And Chris, who's your nap this week?
Yeah, I've gone to my old friend John Butler at Yarmouth in the 7:10 on Wednesday. Have one yourself. This horse is now down back to his last winning mark of 66. Wasn't suited by the race, the way the race unfolded at Brighton last time out. Just didn't think he was suited by the track. It was a really messy affair as well. And Taylor Fisher was aboard that day, and I don't think he's the most experienced apprentice. So Luke Hatton is a massive positive. He's got a good record for Butler this season, 2 from 6. And I mentioned last time I was on the podcast that Butler's having the best year he's ever had. I think it's about 36, 37 winners on the board now. So this horse, Have One Yourself. I think returning to Yarmouth is a massive positive. He's a dual course and distance winner. Two starts ago, he just bumped into a Han Solo Burger on a going day, and he's a class above Have One Yourself. So in this class 5 company, I think this could be the day for him to go well. And yeah, I think he can get his head back in front and take advantage of that mark. So Have One Yourself in the 7:10 at Yarmouth on Wednesday.
7:10 at Yarmouth on Wednesday. Have One Yourself. They are the naps for this week, and that's it for the podcast. Thanks as always to Chris and Rosie. Do join Bruce on Friday for the preview of the Shergar Cup. Be interesting to see which team his panel will be supporting come Saturday. Always a fun day of racing if you haven't been already, so do, if you can, try and get yourself to Ascot this Saturday. Thanks for listening as always, and if you are having a bet this week, do remember to gamble responsibly.